Now we're going to give you our predictions for the following year, right? We're almost there.
For next year.
Yeah, we're almost to 2021. Jeez, it's crazy.
Yeah, this is our 2021 predictions here. Hot
off the precious. All right, precious?
Precious.
My precious. Anyways, so I will be the ultimate gentleman that I always am and let you do the first
you pulled that
prediction.
I think you pulled that one last year, by the way.
Of course.
All right. My first prediction is, this is one we talked about before, recovery. It didn't really happen, but over the last few months, not so much recovery, but restorative type fitness activities have really started to emerge. And I think that that's where we're going in 2021. So by that, I mean,
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We do this every year, and I always get excited for this episode. It is our health and fitness predictions for the following year, for 2021.
Yes.
So, you guys, if you tuned in last week, we did a little review. We gave you the last year's prediction episode. So we are going to jump in today to give you the upcoming year's predictions, yes, or what predictions we have for the upcoming year in the field of health and fitness. So before we jump into those, I want to thank you guys for making 2020 one of our best years, probably the best year for the podcast. You know, almost 50 episodes in, and we are looking forward to another year of interesting topics. So thank you guys for sharing the podcast with a friend and leaving those rating and reviews.
Yes, all of the caring has been shown, because there's clearly been some sharing.
That's right. Keep it up, guys. Keep sharing. Like Shannon says, you can text an episode link to a friend. It's that easy. And of course, those rating and reviews, Apple Podcasts or the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. All right, so a little different format today, since we're going to kind of talk about what we got right, what we got wrong from last year's predictions, and then we're going to give you this or next year's predictions. Excuse me.
Yeah, next year. We feel like not only was it important to share the predictions from this past year, but this year went a little bit off the rails in every possible way imaginable. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to sit and kind of say, well, did we still get anything right? Because despite it being a bit of a you-know-what show, this past year, there's been a lot more focus on health and in corresponding to fitness. So let's run through and we'll kind of say whether we think we hit or missed a specific prediction. So last year we predicted that more plant-based meat alternatives would be available for the masses. So that's like going off of the Beyond Burger, not like soy burgers and whatever. We're talking like meat alternatives that taste like meat for mass populations. Do we hit it or miss it? What do you think?
I think we definitely hit it.
I think so too.
You'd see the amount of stuff that's available for, you know, plant-based meat seems pretty, I don't know about astronomical, but so much more variety, and like sausages and chicken and or stuff that tastes like chicken, I guess, and then the burgers and different companies getting into the fake burger kind of, or excuse me, plant-based burger industry, but then also having their products too.
Yeah, and I mean, I just noticed it in the last month. I went to Sprouts, looked in the frozen food section, and I saw like four or five different Beyond Meat products. They had meatballs, they had sausages, they had pork patties, they had all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I'd say we hit that one right on the head.
Right.
So our second one was keto everything. Like, keto is going to be the diet of the year. What do you think? Did we hit it or did we miss it?
I think so, because I think like I think they actually, I don't know if maybe it wasn't this year, but like I feel like the label keto certified or something became like a like an actual phrase on packaging and stuff.
Yeah.
So which means probably nothing. I don't know if there's any real certification body to tell you what's keto and what's not, but
yeah.
I feel like, yeah, keto is just one of the buzzwords that, you know, keto friendly is a phrase I see all the time on foods and stuff like that. So just like, you know, with things that are gluten free or they put vegan on there or all natural, you know, some terms that they just wanted to slap on a lot of products because they knew they was kind of the hip and trendy. Yes. Yeah. The hip and trendy thing to look for. So I feel like it was definitely something that was keto bombs. I saw that it was like big, like fat bombs or something like that. So I saw a little bit more. I mean, maybe we pay attention to it more, but I think it was out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it stayed consistent, but I thought it was going to surge a lot more this year. But I think because like the grocery industry and most industries got turned on their head this year.
Yeah.
There wasn't the kind of like massive push on like new diet type food.
It's true.
And I feel like most people were just trying to make sure that they had food in their houses.
Right.
Because they were there so much more. It was less like, okay, let's focus on a diet this year. It was like, do we have enough to cover all our meals because we're eating in all the time?
Yeah.
So I think it stayed consistent, but I don't know if it really busted through like we thought it was.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. That's probably a true statement.
That one's a hard one to measure because that was definitely, I think, a pandemic-affected prediction. Our next one, recovery as a fitness trend, using recovery more than just a rest day, but getting more effective with like the active recovery days and things like that. So less high intensity, more of what you would classify as recovery workouts. Do you think we hit or miss it?
Once again, it's kind of tough to say just with the pandemic. Like so many people at first were kind of staying inside and kind of, you know, I think any type of activity, people were encouraging people to be active, but people didn't know what they should do. Should they go outside? Should they stay inside? So I think that kind of, once again, made it a little bit challenging to really promote the idea of, hey, make sure you take recovery into your workout plan. But with also with that said is that people started, I think, maybe exercising more.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard. I don't think it was a huge trend that we saw, but maybe it was something that people participated in more this year just because they hopefully got on a better exercise routine and realized the benefits of recovery.
Yeah, I think the fitness industry was another really heavy hit.
Casualty, if you will.
Kind of. But I mean, like, really, it got completely shifted. I think in a lot of ways, I think we're going to talk about it in our predictions for this coming year. But I think that, you know, most of this year, we've just been trying to figure out what the heck to do with ourselves. We didn't anticipate being at the end of this year and still being in the middle of a pandemic.
It's true.
Still having to be in this phase. We were all very optimistic. But I think towards the end of this year, I started seeing some trends. That are kind of setting us up for 2021. And recovery's kind of in there in a way. It's like shifted a little bit. So yeah, I think this one is one that we really can't say was a hit, but I feel like we were tracking on the right direction prior to all of this. It just kind of stayed.
Right.
So next one was dopamine fasting.
Yeah.
What do you think, hit or miss?
Oh, man. I hate keep going back to this, but it's like, I feel like we missed on it. Because, I mean, I think it's a topic. I mean, it's weird. It's weird to say, right? Because it's like, I feel it's a topic that's more talked about now than it was a year ago. I mean, things like, I mean, just the what's that movie? Social Dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody talked about. And I think people came to, finally, if you didn't know that just things like Facebook and Google and then what YouTube kind of use algorithms based on what you look at.
Track everything you do.
To attract you to different videos or push you in different directions, whether it's sales, you know, as for purchasing items or whatnot. It kind of woke people up to realize what these type of apps and social media is doing to them, including giving them that dopamine hit. So I think more people have been educated about it now, more so than a year ago.
There's a higher awareness.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it. But I don't know if the trends have changed yet.
I think this is one that got completely, like, sideswiped by COVID.
Yeah.
Because it was in a we were heading in a pattern where there was awareness building and there was also people moving to change behavior. But then the push to do everything virtual and on a screen came and it just completely derailed this. So,
that's a good point.
And like instant gratification was like people's stress management this year.
Yep.
So unfortunately, yeah. We can definitely blame COVID on that one straight out, but who knows if that would have been a hit or miss. But our next one, movement as medicine. What do you think, hit or miss?
I think we hit it because this is actually something that COVID, I think, actually had a positive effect for because, I mean, I've heard multiple medical professionals say that exercise is one of the best things you can do to help boost your immunity and kind of stave off some of the comorbidities associated with COVID and just make your body more better equipped to deal with some sort of virus. So I think we definitely hit that. I think some of the numbers I was looking at that people are ready to go back to fitness centers once they open safely. People are trying to do more workouts at home. I bet you the app subscriptions to exercise apps have gone up. So I think it's definitely we've hit that.
Yeah, I would say that was a solid hit. But again, this was one where actually COVID worked for our prediction because movement as medicine would not have been so dire had we not been in the midst of a pandemic.
Right.
And we wouldn't be facing the constant conflict of reality where you are stuck in your house and you are feeling like you are a caged animal. Mm-hmm. And so that just like primal need to get out and do something for your sanity.
Yeah.
I think became a lot more evident for people. So yeah. Woo, we got one solid hit. Yeah. Like, woo. Next one, nutritional studies reporting being much better.
I think
I don't even remember seeing that many nutritional studies.
Yeah,
this
that's
year.
The thing is, I think
scientific
a lot of
community was hijacked.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it because I think most of the studies I've seen are based on treatment methods or what type of vitamins can help benefit your immune system and or of course there's been probably a host of vitamin D stuff that I've seen this
year.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Immunity related studies in the nutrition realm just took precedent for everything.
Right. So I definitely think maybe there has been hopefully some better reporting, but as far as you gotta look at the people who are reporting these nutrition studies.
Yeah, that's the reporting probably took a hit too.
Yeah, that's because I think they realized there was way more people home watching in front of the TV watching. So they, I don't know if they did their due diligence to explain everything in detail.
Yeah,
so I don't think we really got that one.
Yeah, I think that one again was another that just really. Basically, the entire scientific community, the media, everybody was just 100% COVID all day, every day. I work with media every day, and I can tell you for a fact that I was told on numerous occasions since March, if you don't have a COVID-related story, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just real. Mm-hmm. So, last one, environmental health being a major driver for health and fitness trends in general. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say we hit this. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it got overshadowed this year because of the pandemic, but I think also I read the A Year in Climate Change report that the New York Times put out about a week ago. Holy crap, has so much happened this year. Just this year. And I mean, it's enough to make you want to crawl in your bathtub and just cry for days on end. It's terrifying. But I think also a lot more people have become very aware of like sustainability. People saw how much trash they're generating, mm-hmm. how they should be recycling more, all that stuff. But I think it passes on to fitness and health. I saw it a lot in health.
Yeah.
You know, and again, tied to like, you know, what should, you know, is more sustainable, like farming practices, food mm-hmm. scarcity also played yep. a big role in that. But, you know, people learning to take the time to do things like growing gardens and not having to travel so far to do their grocery shopping, or, you know, there was positives to all the stuff people were forced to do, but it was also forcing them to look at more environmental friendly right. issues. So actually I feel like despite, you know, there was a lot of horrible stuff that was already in motion, I feel like this year with the pandemic, travel going down, it probably helped
yeah.
the planet in a tiny, teeny way. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's the line. That is our recap. So we hit some.
Yep.
Some mothers got crushed
yeah.
In a bad way. They did not even come close. But we had a couple others that sort of sustained. What's going forward into 2021?
That's it. And with this, now we're going to give you our predictions for the following year, right? We're almost there.
For next year.
Yeah, we're almost to 2021. Jeez, it's crazy.
Yeah, this is our 2021 predictions here. Hot
off the precious. All right, precious?
Precious.
My precious. Anyways, so I will be the ultimate gentleman that I always am and let you do the first prediction.
I think you pulled that one last year, by the way.
Of course.
All right, my first prediction is, this is one we talked about before, recovery. It didn't really happen, but over the last few months, not so much recovery, but restorative type fitness activities have really started to emerge, and I think that that's where we're going in 2021. So by that I mean, these are not HIIT workouts. They are low intensity. I think we're going to see a lot more of the mind-body hybrid kind of workouts. So like workouts that will train you, that will strengthen your body, but that also incorporate a lot of mindfulness practices mm-hmm. to help basically bring your stress levels down. Because that's what they said. People, a lot of like fitness class creators have seen higher demands for yoga and non-intense workouts because people are just too freaking fried.
Right.
They cannot take a high-intensity workout when they're already rattled and they feel like, I just need something that's going to soothe my body and soul. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that is going to be one that we continue to see. We've started to figure out what we need in our lives in order to survive in this situation of being mm-hmm. in a pandemic. I think that's one of them.
I agree. Like, I think like you said, one thing that was big in martial arts when I was training was the mind-body connection, you know? So I think that's, you're talking about a super intense exercise fitness kind of application in martial arts, but it's all kind of brought together by how powerful your mind is too. Like your mind really controls a lot of what your body is capable of doing. You know, if you can convince your mind to do something, your body can usually follows. So it's
definitely why doing both is important.
Absolutely. So I think my first prediction kind of piggybacks off of that.
Oh,
because I think in-person and virtual training is going to, or a virtual, excuse me, in-person virtual hybrid is going to increase this coming year. Because I've seen people have seen the benefits of virtual training, know it's not just something that's, some, you know, that it's actually can be beneficial. But some people still want to do the in-person training, and especially stuff that's like equipment heavy. Say they don't have a spin bike, say they don't have a heavy bag, you know, they have to do that training in person, but then maybe they want to do the restorative stuff for the recovery days. So they'll do a virtual yoga session at home or a virtual stretching session.
So more flexibility between the two, not mm-hmm. necessarily just a hybrid, but like a hybrid package offer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. A hybrid package where people are doing both on different days.
I would definitely agree with that.
And I think it's huge too. And especially for fitness professionals like myself, it's about now we're balancing how many people come into our facility and still try to serve as many people as possible.
Yeah, it's that people are craving also a personal touch. They don't want to be a faceless number or a random screen name all by themselves. Like, they want to feel like they're having a one-on-one connection with an instructor.
Yeah.
And I think that driver is going to make personal, like good virtual personal training all that much more valuable.
Right.
And for those who are able to have an in-person, I do think there will still be, like you said, yep. there's still going to be a time and a place. And I think that's going to actually be something that transcends 2021 and is just part of the new status quo.
Yep.
I think people are seeing that this is a wonderful benefit, and like it's one of those positives that have sort of come out of this whole yep. pandemic.
Yep. I don't, you know, as a trainer now, I'm not scared to do it, so it's definitely going to be something that's going to be in my tool bag from now on.
Well, it's kind of like we're like building on each other. Because
what do we got?
My next one is that studio equipment, so not just home, like, you know, dumbbells and whatever, but high quality studio equipment is going to be at the top of people's must have list for their fitness gear in the coming year at some point. Because, and I'm talking about, like, yes, the Peloton is definitely one of those items, but like Equinox has their own bike. Like, I'm not just saying a bike, I'm talking studio level. The kind of equipment you would never have invested probably in before, but now people don't feel comfortable going into those even boutique settings in a lot of instances.
Yep.
Using communal equipment just seems so much less less appealing, and yet they still want that same experience. So I mean, like the loads of like virtual classes and stuff that are available. Well, now people are actually like, well, I'm finally investing in my home gym. We probably were investing in smaller little pieces this past year because, again, we were optimistic. We were hoping this was going to be temporary.
Yeah.
But now we're like looking at this long term. We're saying, well, if we're going to do this for even another year, I should invest in something that if I really enjoy doing this, now is going to be the time I invest.
Yeah.
I think that will be... definitely not everybody. I know I'm talking probably only about a chunk of the a percentage of the population that can swing those kinds of purchases, but I think there's going to be a lot more flexibility too, and like, you know, the financing and all that for those really nice pieces of equipment.
Yeah,
home gyms are going to get like lit.
Well, I'm gonna build off that too.
Oh, we got this wow! You've got like a tower of predictions.
It may be a little bit of
a little offshoot. Well,
yeah, it's somewhat probably not closely related, but I think obviously, like you said, people may be a little bit more wary about going into a gym to train. You know, still people want to do it, but they're still kind of apprehensive. I think gyms, especially, hopefully. You know, I know down here, but I think gyms are going to start offering more outdoor training options because I think, you know, studies are showing how outdoor training is much safer yeah. than indoor training, lot less likely for transmission. So I think gyms are going to start creating outdoor areas with either equipment, maybe spin, could put spin bikes outside, something. I know it's tough, the northern places now this time of year, it's gonna be challenging, but
yeah,
once spring rolls around up there, hopefully they'll be moving stuff outside. I mean, you could do barbell bumper plates outside, so I mean, many CrossFit gyms, I mean, heck, they're almost outside anyway.
They're practically outside, yeah.
They're in a warehouse. It's like...
Even in the winter.
Yeah, you're required to... If you have a CrossFit gym, you have to be in a warehouse for some reason. But anyways...
Or an industrial park.
Exactly, industrial park, for sure. So I think gyms, even bigger gyms, like, you know, like an LA Fitness or Planet Fitness, they're going to start creating some outdoor space
like
for workouts.
More consistently.
Yeah, I definitely think...
I could see them investing in doing that because they know they have no chance of surviving like, another year.
I mean, like restaurants that had to convert parking lots into you know, seating space.
I definitely think
gyms are going to go that way too, because like you said, it's just there's going to be a percentage of people that don't want to go inside. And you say, hey, we have this outdoor area for you. It's highly ventilated. You know, you can even have some areas that are, you know, exposed to UV, the sun. So I think that's definitely going to be, you're going to see more and more of that this coming year.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. And I'm like genuinely hopeful for that too, because we spend enough time indoors. Like, it's one of the nicest things, whether you're doing an outdoor, like whether you're doing an intense workout or you're doing yoga, being outside is so much more of an experience. Mm-hmm. I hope that's true. All right, my next one, second to last, mental health is going to become like an everyday measurement, meaning I think stress tracking is going to replace people's step tracking.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, because we're just dealing with such a prolonged high stress condition. Like there's a whole series of like neurological things in our minds, in our brains that have been in overdrive since March, possibly before. And that sort of extended time in like that fight or flight mode is leaving people completely exhausted. They're struggling with mental health. I mean, mental health is a measurement that, I mean, they're talking about like having people in public service spaces being able to better identify someone's mental state versus, you know, like having that be like a preliminary evaluation. You know, there's more trainings for this. I think a lot of people are using apps and things like that to track. And actually, we had one of our friends say that there should be an app that you do actually track your mood on.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if I actually responded to her, but there are a lot of apps that do that.
Headspace has that option now.
Yep. But exactly, like, and it's going to need to become, for people new to tracking their mental condition and their overall mental health, it's going to need to be something you pay very close attention to, because we all are like at risk of slipping into that depleted mode of just depression, fear. I mean, they're saying PTSD is going to be a common, commonly diagnosed thing after this, because, right. I mean, we're already seeing it. People who are afraid to leave their houses. It's going to happen. So mental health, yeah, I think that's going to be like the new thing people are tracking in 2021.
Well, my next one's related to that too. Just
you're
kidding.
So
probably not.
Good.
Probably not. I was just trying to say that to keep the training. Maybe though.
Damn it.
So I think corporate wellness packages are going to be more, offered by many more companies. You know, there's certain companies I've heard, you know, offer like corporate wellness, whether it be purchasing ClassPass for their employees, which is like a member subscription based to a certain number of fitness classes during a month or something like that, or giving them a certain amount of money they can spend per month to put towards a fitness or health related activity.
Or a gym membership.
Yeah, exactly. Or a gym membership. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember some of our friends had like a ton of Orange Theory classes they could use.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be more and more common nowadays, opposed to, you know, the opposite. You know, I think it's actually more companies are going to see the need to offer their employees some sort of, you know, fitness options, because let's be honest, you know, the reason why probably COVID hit the United States the hardest, one of the reasons is our lack of, you know, poor health overall as a nation, you know, whether it be comorbidities, whether it be our healthcare system, I think companies are taking it upon themselves, or they should, not only to take care of their current workers but also to attract new employees. I think they're going to have to offer these benefits along with like a healthcare plan or a 401k. I think corporate wellness fitness packages are going to be becoming more of a trend you see more so in companies than not.
I would say that's probably a pretty good bet, especially like in 2021, where a lot of companies have had to sacrifice a lot on the workplace culture side.
Yep.
Because they don't have the ability to connect and engage in person. So even if you've invested a crap ton of money in this super swanky, tricked out office that's got like a meditation room and, you know, a fitness, like a yoga room, it doesn't matter if nobody's there. So for the foreseeable future, I've heard a lot of companies saying, you know, they've extended their work at home. They're questioning whether they're ever going to require people to just solely work in their office, in the office again. You know, they're really looking at making this long term, but to do that, they're going to have to give somewhere else. They're going to need to give a sort of boost to morale or mindset health. And I think that you're right, like corporate wellness packages and stuff are going to be a great place for companies to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're down to the final one. The final prediction.
The final 2021. Countdown.
Your final prediction.
All right, mine is, and this is actually piggybacks off of some stuff we talked about for last year. We said plant-based meat alternatives were going to grow in demand, and now I'm going broader. Plant-based in general will continue to expand in both adoption and product availability, meaning I know people don't like to use this word, but if we're talking about like plant-based diet following people, also known as vegans, it's a dirty word, right? It has a lot of negative connotations to it, but here's the thing. Plant-based diets, people who have been having plant-based diets identify with that, have increased over 300% in the last 15 years. And that's prior to COVID. So there was a study that came out this past March, ironically, and it said that there was now, and again, like we're talking probably less than 300,000 people 15 years ago actually admitted and said, I do a plant-based diet, I'm a vegan. But now that has gone up 300%. So that 3% of our population, essentially in the U.S., is plant-based diet. So also another factor that I'm working with here is in this past March, grocery stores noted they were selling 231% more fresh plant-based foods than the year prior. And then another study by the Good Food Institute actually saw an even larger increase with the plant-based meat sales increasing 454% over the previous year. Now, if you look at the plant-based meat. Like that, the meat industry is a scary thing. I mean, like billions and billions of dollars are the meat industry. It's far from taking over, but the growth it's had has been huge. And we were talking about in some of our predictions, like the environmental factors. People are starting to respond to that. People are also starting to respond. We said it earlier on in the pandemic, inflammation is a huge risk. If you are someone that has an excessive amount of inflammation in your body, which can be caused by meat and animal products, especially excessive amounts, you are more at risk for COVID. And one of the suggestions was to eat more natural, plant-based whole foods. And I think we're going to keep seeing that trend. So like plant-based, maybe as an exclusive diet, I'm not even predicting that, but I'm saying plant-based as like there will be more exclusive diet eaters, but there will also be a lot more plant-based products and people will be buying a lot more of them.
Now, plant-based is strictly vegan?
Plant-based is plant-based. Oh. So it is just plants.
So I've heard people say they're plant-based, but they eat 10% animal products.
Plant-based diets, that I'm sure there's more wishy-washy in there. I'm sure you can say, like, if you're vegan, you are just... I'm saying, like, plant-based products are considered vegan.
Okay.
But plant-based diets, there might still be a small percentage of animal products in there. Right. But that's like the technicals. But plant-based diets are predominantly plant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand
that. At the very least.
Right. I get that. That's why I said, I think the one person who talked about some person we interviewed said they're plant-based, but then they eat, I think most, they said at least 80 or 85% was plants. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like some of the best diets that we've recommended in the past, like the Mediterranean diet as being a really strong, long-time standing performer in the diet world,
yeah,
is because it's largely plant-based. Like there's some plants, animal yeah. products in there, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of plant-based in there. So I think that it's proving its longevity, you know, and nowadays it's, people are really realizing the rise of other types of diets like Ayurveda and things like that, where that is really plant-based.
Right.
Mostly.
All right.
Depending who you talk to.
Interesting. So my final prediction is also in the food realm. Mine is, I'm going to open it up. Half-scratch meal delivery services are becoming more popular, or going to become more popular in 2021. So half-scratch, you guys remember a few years ago, it was like Blue Apron, you know, and we've talked about Blue Apron on here. We have Chef Ami, well, that was one of our local ones. Basically, meal kits, like Shannon said, they send you each individual ingredient, then nice colored pictures about how you should prepare each meal, and whatever the cook time or preparation time, you usually have to add at least 30 minutes to.
Oh, at least.
Because you had to wash everything. You had to chop everything. You had to saute. Either way, it was a good, I'd say, it was good pre-Ella, for sure.
Learned a lot.
Yes, learned a lot.
Learned about some of the
ingredients we like and still use nowadays. It seemed that the labor intensive, the time investment you needed for these kind of the novelty wore off. But now there are these essentially pre-prepped and or they call them half scratch. Like not from scratch, half scratch. So they send you pretty much already prepared ingredients or portions of meals that all you got to do is open them up, cook them, and then serve. So, and they're all becoming much more, it's not TV dinner style.
Yeah.
It's much more kind of like whole ingredients that are prepared for you that all you got to do is, you know, toss them in the pan. So there's different varieties. I was looking at one, I think it was called Kevin's. I want to find it for you guys because it sounded pretty good. This guy started in himself out of, I want to say it was New York, but I'm going to check for you guys, half scratch. What was it called? Kevin's Natural Foods. The guy has basically, you know, meal pans, paleo and keto certified, no refined sugar, dairy and gluten and soy free, cage free chicken raised without hormones and antibiotics. So has a bunch of different meals, and that, you know, it looks really, really tasty, but also natural, you know, kind of whole ingredients and something that you can make quickly. So it seems that this trend of meal deliveries is becoming a little bit more popular, the half scratch. I mean, we know that grocery delivery has probably increased like tenfold this year with Instacart and things like Shipt now, with people not going to grocery stores. So I think this is a natural progression where people maybe got a little sick of cooking during the pandemic. Now they're ready to go back to something that's, you know, a halfway point. They don't want to do a TV dinner, but they also don't want to do the every ingredient from scratch.
Well, and the other thing is, I think a lot of people realize that if they were ordering out a lot, that a lot of restaurants had quite the learning curve in order to get you the same quality of food. And that the best ones, there was still some kind of prep you had to do at home. Like you said, to put some of the ingredients together. So it was the only way to kind of replicate that restaurant quality in a delivery. So it makes a lot of sense. Like people are like, I'm not going to be this from scratch cook at home. I'm not going to be a chef. But I want the good food. I want the food that sort of tastes like it came from a restaurant, but like there has to be something in between.
Right.
And it's funny because there was starting to pop up, like, I know there's that smoothie company, Smoothie and Soups. I always get Instagram ads for them.
Yep.
And it was like they prepackaged a bunch of really basic things. All you do is like blend it up or like heat it up or put a couple things together. Basically what you're saying, kind of like that half scratch situation. It's like you get the fresh ingredients. There's only one or two steps.
Right.
So very simple preparation. And I've heard really good things from people that appeals to. I could totally see that.
Yep. All right. Well, there we go. Those are our predictions for 2021. Basically a year from now, guys, we'll be coming back and checking to see how well we did on these predictions.
I know. We're going to check and see how everything turned out because, dear gosh, we couldn't have anticipated where we are today if you paid us. But we still managed to give it a good go, and we still hit some decent predictions. So,
yeah,
high five.
That's it. And bam. You know what's got me pumped? Next week's episode is the best of 2020.
You just scared the bejesus out of me because I'm like, you didn't say anything about talking about what's got us pumped today.
Keep you on your toes. That's right. Next week, guys, the best of 2020. We give you a little review of our favorite episodes.
Oh, yes.
Let us know what your favorite episode of this year was by leaving a rating review.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always a good setup because if there's a topic you like this past year, you want us to dive back into, we can revisit it next year.
That's right. You got anything else for him tonight?
Nope.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.